You are listening to The Three Intuitive Healers with Heather Nicholson, Angela Johnson, and Stephanie Gonzalez. Produced by The Three Intuitive Healers Show. Visit thethreeintuitivehealers.com for articles and podcast shows discussing our personal insights and sharing our experiences with you. It is our belief that every human is an intuitive and every human has the capacity to heal. We'll take you along with us on a journey of self-growth and healing so you too can open your mind, heart, and life to the healing magic within. We'd like to thank the listeners for tuning in to the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. I'm your host, Heather Nicholson.
Angela Johnson.
I'm Stephanie Gonzalez.
So today we're going to be discussing our Reiki journey. How did you first start out, Stephanie?
I was an example of what many say, you don't go looking for Reiki, Reiki will find you. And that was indeed the case with me. I was introduced to Reiki by a friend, and I just went for the experience. And in this, the very first time I went to a Reiki share, which was with our actual Reiki group now, that's when I met Heather. And my actual experience was working on her stepmother. And, you know, to be honest, it was pretty weird when I first went in there because there was really no explanation. It's kind of like, well, it's going to be hands-on, gentle touching. And we're not here to massage. We're not here to manipulate your body. We're not chiropractors. We're just going to be doing this blessing and working with this energy over you. So just follow along with us and just kind of see what you like or don't like about it. So I just had basic one eye open watching these women, and it was all women at the time, two tables. And at one point I just kind of said, oh my God, this looks like just like a witch haven, you know, these women from primitive times just standing over someone. But in saying that and thinking that, I realized, I think I belong here, and went through, it was far less exciting for me to receive it as it was to give. And that was probably intentional for my journey, because I was working at the time on intuitive work, mediumship and psychic work. And I had so much doubt in that. So when I was that very first time giving Reiki, and again, I wasn't trained to do Reiki, but I was just standing over the person and just kind of doing what everyone else did. I did have a profound experience that was with Heather's stepmother, and that I felt a lot of physical symptoms. And then when we discussed it later, I told her what I was feeling, and she confirmed these issues she was having and these, what the situation was. And that was just really huge for me. It just blew my mind. So at that very first initiation, it was less about how Reiki was working, and for me about understanding how I literally could connect to somebody's energy just by being in a supportive group that was doing the same. So that was my first start. And after that, I continued to go to the shares. I got trained. I at this time, I have two different Reiki masters, which I love both of them very dearly. And I, for my own journey, it felt it was very necessary to seek Reiki outside of one lineage, because I still had so much, I hate to use the word doubt, but it certainly was doubt. I couldn't believe the magic was really real. And if I stayed with just one lineage, then there was no contrast. I needed to see if it worked with someone else as well. And it absolutely does. And it, you know, it did and it does.
That's incredible.
So that was my start. Yeah, it was very, very exciting.
How about you, Angela?
So
I was trying to think back, you know, years and years and years ago, a friend of mine recommended that I go to get Reiki. She loved it. She could feel it. And I went for a few times. A handful of times, actually, and I never felt it. And I think, as nice as this practitioner was, didn't vibe with her. You know, nice lady. She would read cards for me, but I don't know. And I just kind of sat there. I was like, I don't feel this. And on my last one, because I didn't have a lot of money at the time, and so I told her, and I was going weekly, and you know, I said, you know, this is my last one. And she's very sweet. She totally understood. She asked her son to come in and work at my feet, and he happened to touch my feet. All the other times hands were above it. And all of a sudden when he did that, I felt like my legs were in a jacuzzi. Like I felt this heat go up my legs. And I was like, oh my, that's okay. That's what they're talking about. And I didn't realize it until like years, years, years later. I just thought, well, maybe he was a better practitioner. And then I was at I was getting a Reiki attunement. I was actually at one of William Lee Rand's classes, and we were on break, and I was talking to a fellow student, and she said, well, no, you probably just can't feel it when they're hovering, and you just feel it when they're touching. And it never even occurred to me that that was the difference. I just assumed the first practitioner wasn't as good as her son. And which is why I always touch people unless they request not to, or unless like when we're in the hospital and there's obviously a wound, you hover. But even though I felt that sensation, I wasn't called to it. I even took an attunement. I didn't remember this literally for like 10 years after. I was like, oh wait, I took an attunement, a level one attunement with this woman. It just didn't register. It just wasn't time. I very much believed I was a muggle. Back then, you know, I thought this is something other people can do that I can't do. And so it just kind of floated out of my head. And then in 2015, when I realized I didn't want to write or try to act anymore, and I went to those three different card readers. Well, one was an astrologist and two others were psychics. And I said, you know, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up now. So can you, I just want to hear what spirit has to say. And all three of them told me I was a healer, which was news to me, but I started to explore it. And that's when I started to go down the Reiki path. And I studied crystals. I looked at sound healing. I was really just looking around to see what would resonate with me. And it was Reiki. And so when I did the first class, I would kind of feel it. So it was always sort of like, you know, tapping my palms, like, are these things on? But I knew that the theory behind it I really liked, and the more I worked with it, the more I could feel it, and I just found it really intriguing. So that's how I started, and the way I practice it now is very different, but we'll get into that after. Heather, how was your start?
My start was mine was similar to Stephanie's, where I just kind of fell into it. It was very interesting how I was having severe ovary pain. That day I was going to go see an esthetician, a close friend of mine. She's like, do you trust me? And I said, yes. And so she put her hands over me and she did quantum touch. And I was just like, I instantly knew that I could do that. Since I was a kid, I always try to put my hands on people and trying to give them massages. And I always remember feeling their energy, and I knew if they liked it or they didn't like it, I knew exactly where they were hurting or where to work out the knots. But I would always feel so tired after I got done in massaging them. So I felt completely drained. And after my friend was doing quantum touch energy on me, I was like, I can do this. And she's like, you know, somebody just dropped off a flyer and there's a Reiki share tomorrow. And I was just like, oh, let's do this. And she was supposed to meet me there. Unfortunately, she couldn't get off. So I went to my first Reiki share, and I was kind of like a little puppy meeting a new little kid. I was just so ecstatic and so happy to be there. And I knew that this is what I wanted to do. And I couldn't get enough of Reiki. It was like, let's do this. And I went all the way to Karuna Reiki Master. So, and it's been quite a ride. It really has. Do you still stay the same, Stephanie or Angela, about following the symbols on for Reiki, or have you grown from there?
Go ahead, Angela.
Nope. You know, for a while there wasn't a Reiki class that I wouldn't take, because I guess it's the Virgo in me, you know, love to study. So I got my master level from William Lee Rand. I got my master level from Andrea Marie, I think, in the Shakti lineage. So I think I have a Sui lineage. I have a Shakti lineage. I have Holy Fire lineage. I think maybe the Shakti I'm not a master in, but you know, I like kept doing it right. But as much as I love the classes, and I would learn the positions, you know, I want to learn it the quote unquote proper way, but very quickly, especially working in the hospital where you can't do your, you know, if somebody's in a body cast or somebody just had surgery, you're not, it changes up the way you practice on someone. You have to start using a more intuitive way of approaching your client's problems But I also have this natural tendency to want to throw that away. I very quickly, for a while when I was studying with my bond teacher, I would use a lot of like elemental earth, water. I would see it that way, and I would balance things using those symbols and those hand gestures to call on that energy. But even after that, I just started to see the whole body. I focus on the light. And when the light will take over, and the soul of my client and my soul will sort of take over the whole room. And then everything sort of becomes this energetic soup. And I focus on raising the vibration of this energetic soup to a higher level, so that anything not of a higher level that can't keep up, like illness, disease, will lose its grip. And then once the session's getting closer to being done, then I start the whole, like, what's yours is yours, what's mine is mine. You know, it starts to separate out, and then I end it. But I do use the chokurai still, because that's my symbol to myself, that my signal that it's done. That tells all levels of my being that, okay, we're done, we're separating. So I've kind of like taken it and used it for a different purpose. Mm-hmm. But yeah, every now and then I'll try to pull out the books and refresh my memory just so that I know what people are talking about.
Yeah.
But I could not, I don't think I could like name the other symbols right now. Gosh.
Yeah. That's okay. That's okay. That's your way. And I bet there's not two people who practice it the same way, because even if they're doing the physical, traditional responses internally, what they're perceiving, what they're feeling, what they're sharing is going to be different. So they would probably tell a different story. So, and that's okay, right? It's wonderful that it's individual and it's personified, I think, because that adds great merit in how you're reacting to that person, so that a person can find maybe the client, if they don't get a great experience with their first Reiki session, that doesn't mean everybody else is going to be the same. There's someone who's going to have that right energy blend with you. And for the listeners that maybe don't even know how we're talking about it, basically, if you don't know, or have never seen Reiki, the client or the person lays on a table, usually face side up, and the Reiki practitioner starts usually at their head, and we'll work either clockwise or counterclockwise around the body, gently placing the hands upon them. And what happens as us for Reiki practitioners, or at least I should say for myself, I can't speak for others, is when I'm in that space, holding space of energy for the person, my eyes are closed, and I'm very visual. So usually I start seeing anything from people to colors to scenarios. I've got names. I've seen elementals. There's a lot of stuff I see, and I can't even really describe it. So, because the goal is really to work on the person, and less I've learned than to try to write down the details in my head of what I'm seeing so I can report back to the person, that might get in the way of what I'm actually exchanging with the person, right? But I will say, before we move on to Heather, is I never had a close relationship or even any relationship with Jesus. And it was really through working with Heather, and an interesting thing happened. I was in a Reiki share giving her Reiki, and a tapestry in my mind's eye folded down, and it was a colored picture of Jesus. And I thought, oh, wow, look at that. Heather's friend Jesus came to visit. That's great. And so when we shared it, I told her, Heather, you know, I had this tapestry just unrolled, and it was this image of Jesus. And so, because I was working on her, I figured it was hers. And she just kind of pondered with it. And she said, well, how do we know it's not for you? And I hadn't ever even thought that was possible. And I really kind of resisted it and just like, I think he's probably for you. And I saw him a couple more times, and Heather was interested. She gave me some advice, because I kept saying, well, you know, I'm not a follower of Jesus. I'm not saying anything negative, but I just don't have a relationship with him. And I don't even know if I believe in, you know, what he stands for. And she said, well, maybe if you see that Jesus is a master and a teacher and a healer, maybe you could find your way somewhere in there. And that surely unlocked quite a bit, because once I started doing that in my physical world, very interesting synchronicities came to be. I would put an interesting idea, like, okay, Jesus, if you're really trying to work with me in Reiki, you know, can you show up somehow? You know, I don't know how, maybe someone's going to give me a book of Jesus. Maybe they're going to say it, but no, it was Depeche Mode. You know, my own personal Jesus played right on, you know, on cue. And I was like, oh my God. And who could I tell? I was just like, yes, he's talking to me, you know? And, it was quite interesting. And, there'd be other things where something would happen and it would just like pop in my mind. So basically as my Reiki has developed, I've started actually working with Jesus, or well, what I call Yeshua per Heather. I like that. It just felt more comfortable. I will call him in as I do Archangel Raphael to work with the person. And I just like that energy. And if it wasn't for Reiki, I wouldn't even have got to this blend working with Yeshua. So a lot of interesting things can happen along the journey with Reiki, and both for the client and both for the practitioner as well.
Yeah. I always like, for me in Reiki, I don't use, at the beginning, I use Reiki, the fundamentals, like the signs, but I kept on trying to remember the signs and trying to do everything, going through scanning the body and whatnot. And it was kind of deterring me away from actually listening to what was going on with the person. So I remember taking a step away, but then at the same time, it was like a bag of cats in my head. I was over here on this side. I was over here on the other side of the body. And I couldn't find my placing. So while working with the hospital, I've learned to just kind of focus in, not do, like Angela said, not doing the symbols and signs, because I actually had one lovely patient go, "You're not putting any voodoo on me, are you?" And I was just like, "No, that's extra." Yeah, exactly. That's extra. You know, the chicken foot, I forgot it today. So, you know.
Scare people.
So you just learn to kind of bypass it. Well, then you wind up making up your own kind of Reiki soup. And I don't even call it Reiki anymore. I just call it energy healing, because it's Heather's own brand of energy healing. And all the type that I do, I could tell people how to do it for themselves, because we all can heal ourselves no matter what. And so basically I started telling people, like, look, ground your energy down through your heart center. If you can't visualize it, say it. Say heart center or heart chakra, ground down into the earth, down into the core of the earth, whatever you're comfortable with. Or I'll tell people, you know, I did the ABCs on you, which is align, balance, and center. And you can do the same thing as well. You can ask your heart center to align, balance, and center you wherever that may be. It could be your chakra systems. It could be your energy fields, your bodies, your physical body, your spiritual body, your emotional body, or your mental body. You can do the ABCs through those. And then what else did I find that really helps me? Recently, I've started putting people into me. I meet them on a spiritual level. I tell their spiritual self, you know, I would like you to step into my fields and just sit within me. And then I call in the divine. I call in, you know, God, source, whoever you resonate with. I say, you know, I am an open, clear conduit and portal for the divine energy to flow freely through me into the other person. And so, and I tell the person on a spiritual level, take what you need, because it is infinite. It is infinite energy, whatever you need. So as they're getting the energy back and forth, and I'm trying to raise their vibrational energy up, I'm also aligning, balancing, and centering them. And then I also take it a step further, which I actually say to whatever part of their body where I feel resistance. And sometimes the resistance feels like a density that is, it feels like two magnets being pushed apart. So if you get it, the two ends together and it's pushing apart, that's what I feel on a physical level. And it also sometimes feels like putting your hands through split pea soup. It's really interesting. But I'll say, all densities or distortions or lower vibrational energies that has ever registered within this certain area, I fully release you, transmuting you with love back to the source, not to source, the source, because then you're just giving love back to the whatever gave you that, just that dense energy. And I find that really helps because it's not rebounding back. And then it just, this is what it's basically gone into. And I find that, you know, when I have my clients come to me, that it's easy to share with this because they'll start doing these things. And that's been my journey so far.
Angela, have you had any experiences or something that has changed in your life because of Reiki that is not profound, but certainly is made a difference in your life?
So what effect has Reiki had on my life?
Yeah. Has there been anything that stands out? You know, maybe it's all cumulative, but is there anything?
I mean, it definitely has. I hesitate to say this because mm-hmm. it's different for everybody, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. It helped me get off of my meds for depression. And like I said, it's mm-hmm. I hesitate to say that because it's a very hard thing to get off of your meds. And it took me years, and I would try it, and then I wasn't able to because there would be a certain point where my hormones would get all off or whatever it was, you know, and I would have to go back on, and I would try again, you know, maybe half a year later, just very slowly. And so that went on for years because I could tell I'd already done the therapeutic work and the life instances, or I don't know, things have changed where I felt I could handle things without the medication. But when I started Reiki, it still took maybe, you know, a year of trying, but I could actually keep moving the forward movement, the momentum moving forward to slowly get off my meds. And I haven't needed them for years. Yeah. And I still clearly deal with sadness and all the emotions. But I don't need the medication anymore. Again, I hesitate to say that if you're on meds, it's something, you know, talk to your doctor, all of that. But I will say that Reiki had a profound effect on me, and I was able to use it to wean myself off permanently. So yeah, that was huge.
That's remarkable. Do you think it's because of the emotional work that has been done in tandem, in that things come up when you're working with Reiki, right? With others, some energy. And so it gave you an opportunity to heal things. I'm just kind of grasping at whether it's emotional.
Yeah, no. No, for me, I think it helped balance the chemical levels in my body.
Physical, electrophysical.
Yeah, because I had done all, I've had depression since I was a child. It was just undiagnosed, and it got very bad towards my late 20s and early 30s. To the point where, you know, it was every day, all day. Just, I was very highly functioning, but it wasn't much of a life. So I went on the meds and I did the therapy. You know, I went, and because it's not just, in my opinion, enough to put the chemicals in my body. I have to rewire my brain once my chemicals are set. You know, it's a two-part process. So once I'd done all the work and really processed everything and was in a healthier state, my body had to deal with this physical need for this medication. So that's what would lessen it and lessen it and lessen it. And then all of a sudden it would just kind of boomerang or whatever. And I would be off. So I feel like, in my opinion, clearly I didn't have any tests run, but I feel like the Reiki helped balance the chemical levels in my body so that I was able to do that last little bit of letting go of the medication.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. It really is. Good for you. So happy for you. Have you witnessed, either one of you, something you want to share in a healing for a client or, you know, family, friends that you've given Reiki to, either instantaneous or certainly over the long haul, that you could talk about the healing that's been done for them?
I know I've had some remarkable results, and they're not coming to my mind right now. Just, you know, after a while, you get a lot of stories, especially if you work in the hospital. You know, there was one time where my hand was burning. It was over this person's shoulder. And it was weird because I knew that's not what they were in the hospital for. And so I at the end, I said, I'm sorry. I just have to ask, and you don't need to tell me, but is there something going on with this shoulder where there's just this burning, like anger? And she pulls down her sleeve because she's in the hospital gown. She goes, this is the tattoo with my ex's name on it.
Oh my goodness.
She was not happy. She had not done her process. So there was a lot of emotional baggage there, just in the way she did that. I was like, thank you.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
And there was like another time I was working on someone and I was on, I went to her left side and all of a sudden my nasal cavities just cleared. And I said, have you recently done work having to do with your mother, like forgiveness? And she's like, yeah, I just like forgave her for a lot of stuff. Why? And I said, well, the left side is usually feminine and my head just cleared out of all my nasal cavities are completely cleared. So I just kind of put those two together. So yeah, there's that stuff happens a lot. Now, in terms of like spontaneous healing, I don't think I can make that claim, but certainly sort of like, wow, how do you know that type stuff comes up a lot.
How about you, Heather?
Yeah, I get that. Anything the same, the, how do you know that? Or I saw colors, like they're so intrigued. Like, oh my gosh, I saw these colors and it was like a psychedelic ride. And I was just like, yeah. Mostly when I work on people, they tell me that they feel like they feel hands all over around them. Like there's like 1,000 hands just giving Reiki around them. And then also sometimes people have asked me to move on, because I'll let them know in the beginning. I said, if anything hurts, or if, you know, there could be areas where I'm working on and it might hurt, you can either ask me to move on or go more deeply in that area and try to work something out. But, you know, your level of comfort is, I want to make sure you're comfortable. Well, I've had several people ask me to move out of an area because it was just too painful and it was causing their back to seize up or something similar to that. Mm-hmm. So I do have that where they're kind of shocked on how much energy they are feeling coming from me. I think the one that sticks out the most for me is I was working on a patient who had severe tremors, significantly went down. The patient wasn't able to fall asleep because their tremors were so bad. As I was leaving the room, the patient said, oh my gosh, my tremors have almost stopped. And that, I was on cloud 9. That was amazing.
Was I there? I remember that.
No, it was the time I was there. I did tell it to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had people, when I worked, and it's clearly it's going to be a her because it has to do with pregnancy. I happened to know this person. So I was at her head and I just would see happy sunshine, you know, all this. And as I went down her body and I'm working on her abdomen, the tears just started flowing because she had had difficult pregnancies and lost some pregnancies years before. And it hadn't come out of her tissues yet, the issue. And so she was really surprised by all this sorrow, all this. And it was just a safe place for her to just cry and release. And so that's another interesting thing, when you're to hold space for when the experience isn't necessarily happy. You're helping someone release old wounds and to be that safe, wise person in the room that's guiding them through it. That's pretty amazing. Absolutely. What about you?
I've had a lot of physical response. I mean, certainly there's been a lot of people. There's been plenty of sessions with tears, and it's always again, it's you know, it may be out of sadness or memory recall, but the people are always happy to purge that out, you know, after the fact. You know, there might be some embarrassment, oh my gosh, why am I crying, right? And especially when people go in, not and we tell them, usually, like, it could be tears, could be laughter, could feel nothing, it's going to be all on you, I'm just here to support you through it. And it surprises a lot of people that those tears come out, that it just really just comes out. And that's so therapeutic. You know, I mean, at that time, they may be a little overwhelmed by it. But after the fact, they realize, oh, my gosh, I need to get that out, or I hadn't thought about it, or I feel better, you know. But one of my biggest physical responses was with my sister, who had a cyst on the top of her hand, and she had it. It was growing, and she went to see the doctor, and the doctor had drained it. And it wasn't really fluid filled. And so she told her, if it doesn't go away on its own, we're going to have to cut into the hand. And it's very delicate on the top of the hand because of all the little tiny blood vessels. And my sister certainly did not want that. And I told her, well, you know what? Let's see if we can get Reiki into working with you on this. And we also used a little bit of the Louise Hay emotional side of healing. And for Sist, it was replaying an old story and it resonated with her. And so she worked on that. So what we would do is every day we try to do the same time. I would text her. She would text me. We say, do you have time now? She would sit and receive and work on her story and I would send. And there's for the listeners that don't know, we do distance Reiki for 30 days. And it was prior to just before Christmas. So at some point we did it every day and visualized, and then Christmas came over the holidays and I just totally forgot about it. And it was in early January, and this is probably in 2019 where freedom did ring. And she sent me a picture. She was out having dinner and she had just looked at her hand and realized, and she sent me a picture of what her cyst looked like before, because we had taken a picture of it, and the fact that the cyst was now gone, you know, these few months after. And we were so elated and so excited. And I was just so proud of her for doing the work that she needed to do. And she really understood that a lot of times, I'm going to be careful in how we say this, because we're not blaming anyone for anything, injuries or illness we carry, but do we have the right environment for these things to grow and to live in us, right, that affect us? And she did. So with that belief in Reiki that I was sending this energy, and with her releasing that which she was continuing to hold on to, her cyst went away, you know. And it's a beautiful, beautiful, we have proof of the pictures. I mean, it's just amazing. And it really, I didn't need that proof, but certainly it was so wonderful to see it. And it was remarkable. I did have a quick one over the weekend. My daughter had her nails done on, I think it was Thursday. And on Saturday, her finger, she woke up and it was just so red. And she goes, I think my finger's infected. And it was horribly red and hot. And so I was taking a look and I said, oh my gosh, you know, did she cut you? And she said there was no cut, but it was something around by the side. It looked terrible. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't falling off, but it looked very, very disturbed. And so I said, well, you know what? If it's not better, we may have to go to urgent care or something, because that's not the way your finger's supposed to look. So by the end of the day, still hurting her really bad, I kept having her soak it in Epsom salt, hot water. Then she determined maybe it's an ingrown nail on the side. Maybe she didn't, because there was no ever any cut. But regardless of the fact, it was just a very unfortunate. And she was told she needs to pull off the nail to go into it and dig into it and, you know, work on it by just a lot of, you know, non-doctor people. So I told her, it was Saturday night, I said, look, I'm going to put you on my Reiki altar. I do have a Reiki altar. I do put names in it. It's surrounded by crystals and rocks and natural rocks and a lot of healing elements. And when I put the name in it, I do distance Reiki. And then it stays in there. I stay for 1 month. And then at the end of the month, I burn all the names and I release as a healed experience. And I, you know, clean out the vessel and we start again for the next month. And prayfully, the people don't have to come back, right? Because they've got what they needed and they've healed on. So anyway, I did put her in there Saturday night, and Sunday she woke up and her finger was fine. That was yesterday. And mm-hmm. she was a little bit, well, I put a Band-Aid on it. No, let's go on. You did ask. I put you in the Reiki. I sent it first thing as soon as my eyes opened in the morning, I was sending her Reiki. But sometimes you can get those instantaneous, you know, and again, I'm not going to tear it apart. Was it her body healing? You know, maybe it was on its own. Maybe it never needed Reiki. But all I know is that the coincidences, Reiki was administered to her, and the answer was relief. It can be that instantaneous. And I've helped people with a lot of back injuries or shoulders, nausea, whatever the case. People, family and friends have asked for many a person. Most of them I do not know. They just ask, can you put so-and-so's name in there? Tell me what the ailment is. So I do a lot of distance Reiki. It's slowed down, actually. God bless. I think that's a positive thing, because I think most people now, not most people, a lot of the people who were ailing have seemed to have healed. But I can have sometimes, you know, 12 names in my Reiki altar, and sometimes it's just two. But I believe very much so in distance Reiki. And I do use the symbols, going back to it, I never explained. I do use the symbols because I'm a very, I like ritual behavior. So I do use them because for me, it's part of my little routine. So they mean something to me.
It's nice. I love the idea of a Reiki altar. I
I used to create, I still have it written down. I made this web of everybody I knew. Started off with me in the center, and then it was Chad. And then I draw a little line and put a person's name in a circle. And I created this web, right, of family and friends. And in the morning, I would put my hand on the web and I would send it Reiki to everybody. I need to find that. It's funny how you do things and you just let them slip away and go, you know.
That's a great way to cover the whole family and friends. I love that.
Yeah, it was really neat. And I had a patient on there that I'd worked on at the hospital. And then when she moved on to another hospital, her family asked me to come work on her. And I followed her to a couple of hospitals till she passed away. And so she was on there. Her siblings were on there. I would put initials because after a while you run out of room, you know, and I put pets on there. So it's like this page. If you didn't know what it was, it's this page of all these like letters and circles and lines drawn to how they're all connected. But and I just would put my hand on there and just send Reiki to everybody in my world. So
that's awesome. I love that. And that's a great way to be able to catch everyone.
Yeah.
Right. When especially when a time is an issue, because I have to repeat all those names. I feel like we all have our own routines, but I don't like to like throw people in like in big groups, unless it's us living here, but I like to have their specific Reiki. So it can take a long time. Right? The web will help you cover it all and you as well with that.
Well, and it shows how as you heal yourself, that healing goes out to everybody. So, you just get powerful within yourself and everybody benefits from that because they're all energetically tied to each other.
I noticed the more I did Reiki and started doing Reiki on other people, the less I hurt because I have an autoimmune disease. So the less I would hurt. And then it just got to a point where you just stop hurting and you notice that your vibrational frequency is higher and you heal faster. I injured my tailbone over a month ago and everybody was telling me it was going to be over a year because it took a better part of 2 weeks before I could sit without having to move every few seconds. And then I wasn't laying on my Reiki table as I was working. So, and now here I am, I'm pretty much almost completely healed. So there's just sometimes when I've sat too long through the whole entire day that it aches. But other than that, I'm so surprised.
Nice.
And that's exactly the case, how that Reiki helps us heal when we use it for our own cases. And here's let's talk about that. We're talking about Reiki clients. How have you used Reiki for yourself, emotionally, spiritually, physically?
I know Reiki was basically a gateway for allowing the divine to come in for me because I felt so separated and an island unto myself, I guess you'd say, that it was a gateway for me to start stepping in to my sovereignty and divine energy.
I like that. When I started down the Reiki path, it really opened my eyes to how much I was already sending energy to everything. You know, I was sort of naturally giving good vibes to things just in my surroundings. So I'm flinging Reiki everywhere all the time. I won't call it Reiki, but I'll focus energy and love and on everything. And it is, as Heather says, it's a neat sort of way to bring the divine into the everyday aspect of your life. And you realize, you know, it's really neat to go through your day blessing things and sending love to people and things. And I mean, I have always, as people are walking by, like I'll be in a car, I'll be watching out a window, I would always look at the people passing by and I would say the words, I love you. And I would send them energy that they may have the most amazing day. And the more I would just do that for people, just strangers, and I still do it. When I'm at a stoplight, I'll look at people and I'll think, I wish for you the best day you have ever had. Because it makes me feel connected. I also have always, I heard, I don't know, is this true? Like the sound we make never, it just keeps traveling. It never dies.
It's like an end or something. Like you're
feeling, I guess so.
It just continues to like move.
Well, it goes
around.
Out into the universe.
Interesting. Yeah.
I don't know if I have
sounds we make.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I got that into my head. So I would always say, even if nobody's in the room, I always whisper, not always. When I remember, I say, I love you. You are loved. Because to me, I'm wondering if light years away, there's someone who is walking along their day on their planet, and all of a sudden this faint, I love you, you are loved, hits them. Mm-hmm. So I kind of do the same with energy.
Hmm. I love that. So wonderful. I can't say that I was sending random people, I love you, beautiful energy. That's nice to hear. I do that now, especially if I see a car accident as a Reiki practitioner. If there's anyone there, I immediately get Reiki distance to them for their best outcome, right? Because also we don't like to put our own intention onto it, like, oh, let this person live, let this person be this right. or that. It's we send Reiki for their best healing, and certainly for those who are experiencing the trauma, right, of whatever the situation is. I think if I had to explain, like you both did, how what Reiki means to you, the experience of connecting with the divine, and you, Angela, realizing you are already doing it. Already it was, but you didn't have a name for it. I think Reiki allowed me to practice what I believed was magic. And because I would put Reiki in the whole magic vein, whether people want to accept it or not, I do. Because to me, magic is nothing less than, it's the unseen. It's believing again in the divine or the creator. But I did a lot of different practices in my young years, and I was always afraid of how that would look like. So if I learned some Wiccan practices, or if I had some things that I took from maybe religious upbringing, it wasn't not necessarily, you know, no voodoo or anything. I'm just using, you know, whether it was talismans, or, you know, working with nature, rocks and sticks and prayers and mantras, what have you. Anyway, Reiki allowed me to then practice it in public, right? To really just stand with it, because then it wasn't seen. It may be seen, you know, as something non-religious or witchy to some people. But for me, I didn't have to worry about that. To me, I saw this is energy healing. This is totally 100% fine with my belief system. And I was able to embrace it. And then that has since expanded because its intention was always to help another person, to help the self and to help another person. And that to me was why I think I was brought to Reiki, so that I could expand, yeah. you know, without worrying about the judgment.
No, I think that's great. That makes total sense. Mm-hmm. I love that.
And what about Reiki for nature and animals? Have you, either one of you?
My pets regularly? Won't let me. Like I will be next to them yeah. and everything will be fine. And then right. I'll, in my mind, I'll think Reiki on and all right. of a sudden. Harry or look, you're like,
then turn around and move, or right, shake it off, or something, huh?
I'm fine. Yeah. Leave me alone.
Isn't it interesting how a lot of people say that a healthy animal just usually will just kind of move or do something and let you know I'm just not really enjoying whatever you're doing?
My cat mm-hmm. was that way. He was like, no, just stop. Poor Casanova. I was like, come here, kitty. And he's just like, get off me.
Yeah, so weird. And we're not alone. There's been a lot of people have done that. I was going to say to animals that are injured or dying, there doesn't seem to be any resistance to it. And again, that wasn't necessarily, again, the outcome to save anything and to not intervene. It's just to bring their comfort and bring them healing. Those animals seem to be in a receiving mode when I was doing it.
To your point, that's true. I had that experience. My friend was fostering three little Chihuahua puppies, like baby, like they are fresh out, right? And the tiniest one that fit in the palm of your hand, they decided to spay her when she was so little, and they nicked something. Oh, so she was having to, and she's fine now, but she was having to recover. So she was, and she's a little spitfire, right? So she wouldn't come near me at first. Like this little, like 5-inch thing is like taking a stand. Like no, and you know, I just scooped her up. And I started. She's in the palm of my hand, and she's like, rah, rah, rah. And I start to run the energy, and then she's like, she just starts licking my nose, and then she passes out. So it's like within a minute, she was so happy. So that was, but, and it was because she was injured.
She needed that healing. So. And then she ended up doing well.
Oh yeah. She lives next door. Right. Oh, she's awesome. My friend's neighbor now.
And I saw her, and I forgot that the owners had no idea who I was, because I was like, oh my God, it's no, you know, I'm like, ah. And they're like, okay, just slowly backing away from the crazy lady. Gonna kidnap our dogs. So yeah, the injured ones, you're right.
You see, yeah, it's yeah. different, huh?
I did. I was at a Reiki share recently last week, and I remember she had a cat, and the cat, they were doing Reiki on me, and the cat jumped up and practically sat on my head trying to get into the Reiki bits. Oh yeah. And then when somebody else was on the table, she just came up to me and was staring at me, meowing at me. And I was like, no, you can't jump on my lap. She wanted to jump up on my lap and be a part of it. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's good. So that's, there are some. She's a, yeah. Right. Some of those animals definitely become accustomed to working with the energy, especially if they're in a home mm-hmm. that's doing it. And they become almost like a service animal. Then they're assisting, huh?
Well, I know one of the ladies at the Reiki share, she had her dog attuned. So this dog would go in and Reiki. Yeah, the dog was Reiki attuned. And so the dog awesome. Would just, yeah.
I remember one time I used to go to this healer. She's amazing. And her dog is, you know, seen it all. So he usually wouldn't even be in there. But she was doing some deep work on me, like cords and everything. And he came and she said, he's never done this before. He laid underneath the table the entire time, like guarding me while she was doing this cool. work. Yeah.
That's cool.
It was so neat.
What a blessing.
So yeah, the animals are pretty awesome.
Yep.
All right. We hope the listeners enjoyed our journey with Reiki, and we hope you're able to find the healing magic within.
Thank you for listening to us on the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. Remember, when we open ourselves to healing, we positively affect our environment. This podcast represents the opinion of the Three Intuitive Healers and their guests to the show. The content should not be taken as medical or psychological advice and is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Each person is unique, so please consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Views and opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not represent that of our places of work. While we make every effort to ensure that the information we share is accurate, no guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made in this podcast.